Brother Laddie has served us in many ways, behind the scenes and in various ways. He continues to serve the brethren, and his services will be continued at this time with the discourse. He's chosen for his topic, Submit. One word title, Submit. Brother Laddie, we'll turn it over to you at this time.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Because I failed to do so before, let me take this opportunity to bring to you the love of the brethren, your brethren, in Columbus, Ohio. They asked, they voted that their love be conveyed to you. And particularly my daughter Rachel, Sister Rachel, asked that her love be conveyed to you. And Brother Owen took me aside and said, please tell the brethren that I would love to be with them, but someone has to stay behind. Because of Brother Owen and Brother Jim, we have the opportunity to go to conventions and participate and enjoy the fellowship there when they stay behind, and we in turn like to be able to do the same for them. Brother David Naminsky caught me before the service here and said, you must tell the brethren that the next year's IO convention will be in Valparaiso, Indiana. Northern Indiana, the brethren there are looking forward to having you visit them and be with them in convention. We from Southern Ohio or Central Ohio will also enjoy being there with you. Submit. In our hymn, in the last verse, we sang, oh, to be nothing, nothing, painful the humbling may be. And when I think of the subject of submitting, I think that sometimes, oh yes, oftentimes, it's very humbling. Today, I would like to talk to you about three illustrations of individuals that may be a help to us as we consider the subject of submit. I'd like to talk to you about Abraham and Isaac. Now, Brother John Bazilius has already talked to you about Isaac and Rebecca. I'd like to talk to you about Abraham and Isaac. I'd like to talk to you about Joseph. Yes, we've already talked about Joseph, but there's another lesson. I'd like to talk to you about our Lord. And then last of all, I'd like to talk to you about self, you and I. Turn with me to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And starting with the first verse, we read, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he answered and said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, you and I well know the story of Isaac and how he was a son of Abraham and Sarah's old age. I've endeavored to calculate approximately how old Isaac was at this time. The scriptures don't say definitely. What it does say is that Abraham was 100 years of age when Isaac was born. It also says that Sarah was 127 years of age when she died. Sarah was 90 years of age when he was born, 127 years of age when she died. Brother John, in his discourse, brought to our attention the fact that after Sarah died, Isaac was married and took Rebekah into Sarah's tent. Abraham, at the time of Sarah's death, must have been 137 years of age. Now, it doesn't say exactly how much prior to that time that this occasion where Abraham was told to take Isaac up into the mountain was. I'm going to reach down in my opinion pocket at this time and suggest to you that Abraham was approximately 130 years of age, making Isaac about 30 years of age. I don't know that it makes a whole lot of difference, but it's a suggestion to you. It seems to fit some other pictures that are in the scriptures. The occasion called for Abraham to go up into the mountains and to sacrifice or to offer Isaac on an altar. If you can picture Abraham as being 130 years of age and Isaac as 30 years of age, you begin to see a little problem. Especially if Isaac did not want to be offered. Now, just to illustrate that, I'm going to ask Brian Armstrong to stand up. Now, Brian Armstrong is 21 years of age back here. You take a look at him, and I have a feeling that he could offer quite a defense if someone said to you, to Brian, get up here on this altar, or I'm going to bind you and burn you. If I took Brother Pilecki back here, who's 76 years of age, and asked him to do it, I'm sure Brother Plicky would say, that's not a battle for me. Not if he's going to object to it. The scriptures, as we read them, give no indication whatsoever that any resistance was offered. Indeed, the scriptures give no indication whatsoever that any resistance was offered on Abraham's part. In both cases, perfect submission. It simply says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Now, one of the reasons why I think that Isaac was an older lad was the scriptures go on to say that when they had reached, it says, on the third day, and I like that thought. On the third day, when Isaac looked out, he saw the mountains that the Lord had spoken of. And he said to the two young men that went with him, stay here. I'm paraphrasing. You stay here, and the lad and I will go up into the mountain. And then he gave all the wood that he had claved and bound it to Isaac, and Isaac carried it up into the mountain. It would take a fair-sized young man to be able to do that. What is the lesson?
The lesson is absolute trust in the Lord and perfect submission to the will of God.
Isaac submitted to his father and to his God. Abraham bound Isaac
and laid him on the altar. Therefore, Isaac submitted to his father and to his God.
To submit, therefore, means to willingly accept our Father's will, regardless of the cost, whether it be that which we hold dearest
or even life itself. To submit means sacrifice.
Illustration number two, Joseph. Again, I don't have to tell you the entire story of Joseph, but let me hit the highlights. In Genesis, the 37th chapter, we learn that at the time that these events begin to take place, Joseph was 17 years of age. As I think of 17 years of age today, I think of a time when in the teenager's life, they're beginning to put out their feelers for wanting to be independent and on their own, to make up their own mind as what they do and what they want. Well, in the case of Joseph, he was about his father's business. The next 10 chapters in the book of Genesis give us the account of Joseph's life. And Joseph's life was, from one standpoint, a beautiful one, but from another standpoint, it was an absolute miserable one. At the age of 17, by his own flesh and blood, he had his only earthly possessions ripped from off his body for the purpose of deception. He was thrown into a pit, according to the 37th chapter and the 24th verse. Why his fate was discussed. Finally, he was sold as a slave. And then he was sold again to Potiphar's household, or to Potiphar, who was the servant of Pharaoh. According to the account of his stay in Potiphar's house, Joseph increased in favor. Note specifically that there is nothing in any of these accounts that indicated that he resisted the experiences that the Lord was giving him. While in Potiphar's house, his very character and integrity was brought into question. He was discredited by Potiphar's wife. And because of this, Joseph was thrown into prison. Now, Joseph put up quite a defense in reference to this. No, he didn't. He submitted to the will
of his God. This day was only a short time in prison. No, it wasn't. We oftentimes murmur and complain, and I'm saying me, about little experiences. Here was an experience with Joseph that lasted years. And what I would consider, from what I saw when I was in Egypt, absolutely inhuman conditions. Maybe it was different back there. But from what I can see, when I visited Egypt, the way they treat their prisoners, even to this day, is not very good. As I was flying out of Cairo, I watched the Egyptians walk prisoners that were chained together through the hot desert. And I thought how inhumane Egypt, as it is pictured, or as it pictures the world, really is. While Joseph was in the prison, he did not murmur nor complain for all those years. He took the opportunity to show forth, to illustrate his submission to the Lord's will. And because of this, he was favored. His position that he had to endure was greatly diminished. As the years passed, certain things came up that indicated possibly Joseph would have an opportunity to be released. And as he helped two of his friends in prison to understand a dream that they had had, the one was going to lose their life. But the other, the chief butler, he said to, "Remember me before Pharaoh." That favor that was requested of the chief butler was forgotten, according to the 10th chapter in the 23rd verse. It was forgotten for 2 years, and Joseph didn't complain. He submitted to what the Lord permitted him to go through. Turn with me to the 41st chapter of Genesis. And reading from the 44th verse. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." The scene has changed. Joseph is released from prison. We know the account. He gave the credit to God to be able to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. And because of this, his circumstances were changed. Brother Buckley just talked about taking the low place that you might be asked up higher. Joseph was in the low place. And by Pharaoh, he was asked up higher. How high? How high can you go? He was right underneath Pharaoh, second in command.
Pharaoh said that as he saw it,
a person wouldn't be able to,
and if I can use that terminology that's used today, sneeze without Joseph's permission.
And in submission, Joseph accepted the position,
not of Pharaoh, but of God. We know the rest of the account. Pull out just a highlight. His brothers came and went and returned again. And again, this didn't happen overnight in a week, but over a period of years. And in the 45th chapter, of Genesis, we read kind of a conclusion to this. And I love this.
It says, "And God sent me." Now, this is Joseph speaking. The 45th chapter in the 7th and 8th verses. This is Joseph speaking. "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all of his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt."
Dearly beloved, to me this is the ultimate in submission. Even in the highest position in the land of Egypt, Joseph submitted to God. Therefore, to submit means to accept the Lord's will in all the little affairs of life, regardless of the cost to our time, our health, or our earthly possessions. A little lesson that we can draw therefrom. Third point, our Lord, Jesus. In the third chapter of Matthew, in the 14th and 15th verse, we read of our Lord coming to John the Baptist. The verse reads, the two verses read, "But John forbade him," saying, and the background of this particular text of Scripture is just a few verses before, he had talked about the scribes and the Pharisees coming to him to be baptized, to John to be baptized. And he told them in so many words, "You have to repent first. You have to submit first before I will baptize you." But here comes Jesus. And he comes to John and he says, "I want to be baptized." But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now. And thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." And then John suffered it to be so. From the time of our Lord's baptism,
yea, even before, to the time of his death, he submitted himself fully to the Father's will by laying down his life in sacrifice on a daily basis. We call it the sin offering, or an offering for sin. Yes, at the River Jordan, he gave up his right to perfect human life. But the 3.5 years that followed was a daily learning of submission to the Heavenly Father. He did this in the daily activity of life. As a priest, he taught his disciples not only the Word, but the Spirit of the Word of God. He taught them in words or parables. We have some of those parables spoken of here, even at this convention. Parable of the wheat and the tares. These were the lessons, the way our Lord laid down his life, giving of himself, submitting to the Lord's will, to the Heavenly Father's will. He taught also by illustration, by turning water into wine, by healing the sick, by causing the lame to walk, by raising the dead. He taught them the history of God's plan. He taught them prophecy, and he taught them about the future. Oh, you know, and I know, that as a professor, in teaching them, when it came time for graduation, they flunked out. They did not have the Spirit at the time.